It was an enthralling start to this season's UEFA Champions League quarterfinals. In Turin, Italian champions Juventus were inspired by their own Argentinian superstar.
Here's Dybala with a strike! And it's 2-0 to Juventus! That left foot again of Dybala!
And then was this the moment that means the mountain will be just too high to climb for Barcelona at the Camp Nou next week?
In comes the corner, deep to the back post, headed in! Juventus have a third goal! And it's Giorgio Chiellini!
Paris Saint-Germain fans will be quick to point out the tie is far from over. So all the best analysis and reaction from tonight's quarter-final encounter to come. Plus, we're going to hear from Miralem Pjanic, Carlo Ancelotti and Craig Shakespeare. Plus, we'll look ahead to Wednesday's clash between Bayern and Real Madrid. Plus, Leicester City's trip to Atletico. Stay with us right here on Match Day Live. Welcome to the show. I'm Rob Daly and I'm joined by European football expert Chris Parrott. Chris, it was another high quality match in the UEFA Champions League in Turin.
It certainly was. It felt like the night that Juventus had to announce themselves, if you like, against one of the big boys, this new look team. So many changes from when they played Barcelona in the final only a couple of seasons ago, and boy did they shine in Turin. You know, led by the brightest star of them all in Paulo Dybala with two fantastic goals. The Argentine, I think, on the global stage, truly announcing himself. We've all seen him in Serie A score so many goals, but against Barcelona, he put them to the sword. Juventus were perfect. Barcelona had their chances, but they couldn't take them. And you just wonder, we all know about that comeback against Paris Saint-Germain, but this is Juventus. Surely at 3-0 up, they have one foot and a couple of toes in the semi-finals.
They certainly do. A reminder of how Tuesday's quarter-final first leg tie finished. It was Juventus 3, Barcelona 0. Now, before we look back and review all of the action from Juve's impressive win over Barca in Turin, we should remind our listeners about the other match that was due to take place on Tuesday evening in the UEFA Champions League. Following tonight's incident, this is the statement, by the way, from UEFA. Following tonight's incident involving the Borussia Dortmund team bus, the UEFA Champions League match between Borussia Dortmund and Monaco has been postponed until Wednesday at 18:45 Central European Time. The decision was made after a meeting was held at the BVB Stadion between UEFA representatives, the two clubs, and local authorities. For more on that game, head to UEFA.com. So we're going to begin our review of the action in Turin. This one was watched for us by Richard Connolly.
Quick feet from Cuadrado. Dybala inside the box and scores! They didn't get close enough to Paulo Dybala, and he's curled it in with that wonderful left foot, and Juve lead inside 7 minutes. Iniesta's made the run here. There's no flag. What a save by Buffon. Buffon punches the air. That looked like the equaliser. Here's Dybala with a strike, and it's 2-0 to Juventus. That left foot again. In comes the corner, deep to the back post, headed in! Juventus have a third goal, and it's Giorgio Chiellini! A three-goal lead now for Juventus. 3-0, they lead Barcelona.
A comprehensive win for the Bianconeri. Joining myself, Rob Daly and Chris Parrott now, is our commentator for this one. Richard Connolly. Richard, did Juve deserve their 3-0 victory?
Yes, undoubtedly they were the better side on the night, particularly, Rob, in that first half when they were absolutely outstanding and they came out with such a full-throttle display that Barca really were rocked from the outset. Concern for Barca from the very beginning, the third minute, a Pjanic free kick, a free header for Higuain, which went straight at Ter Stegen, but it wasn't long before they did get in front. Higuain involved, coming deep, finding Cuadrado on the right, and he set up Dybala, who really wasn't picked up in the penalty box, and he curled a delightful shot into the corner. 7 minutes gone. Juve putting all kinds of pressure on Barca in their own half and deservedly a goal up. There was a moment, 20 minutes in, which could have changed the whole complexion. Messi played in Iniesta. There was a big kind of collective intake of breath. Was he offside? But the flag didn't go up. Buffon was reactive, was still wide awake. Out he came, threw out a big left hand, tip away a shot which looked to have been passed into the corner by Iniesta, and Buffon's save went away. He was celebrating that immediately, and 60 seconds later he was celebrating all the more intently because Dybala had made it 2-0 on the counter-attack. Mandzukic set him up on the edge of the penalty box and he curled the shot around Piqué, the defender, and into that near post, beating the diving Ter Stegen 2-0, and it could have been more before half-time. It was a superb first-half display from Juventus. By half-time, they'd started to sit back, were condensing the play and trying to hit Barcelona on the counter-attack, and that broadly was their plan for the second half, although their attacking ambitions as the game got on got more and more limited. They did manage to add a third goal from a corner. Chiellini nodded in. It went in off the inside of the post, and 3-0 felt like a reasonable reflection. In the second half, you would say Barcelona did play better. They withdrew Mathieu, brought on Andre Gomez. There was a slight tinkering from Luis Enrique, and they were better. Messi had an opportunity which Pjanic just stopped from going directly to goal. Iniesta shot over the bar, and Suarez had a chance, which Buffon may just have tipped away from the post. So they were better in the second half, but Juventus are a much improved side from the 2015 final. And you would say, even though they've only got the 3-goal advantage where Paris had the 4, Juventus would be a bigger favourite in the Camp Nou to get through and reach the semi-finals.
It was a nervy end, and you just wonder whether allowing Barcelona not to score the away goal was almost as important as the 3, but there was a reason that Juventus came in to the tie with the best defence in the UEFA Champions League of the teams left. 7th clean sheet for Gianluigi Buffon. And just the way that they were able somehow, you know, someone got a toe in, someone got a block in. They scored 3 fabulous goals, but they also didn't half put a shift in. You know, Pjanic and Khedira were outstanding. And they just found a way to nullify and to frustrate Barcelona. And they almost managed to do everything that Massimiliano Allegri would have hoped. They were an attacking force, and then they were also able to successfully sit back and defend it. And they showed signs of the way that they got through to the final a couple of years back, I think, with, you know, being able to play multiple systems even at the end when they could bring on Barzagli just to see the game out. They looked sort of like the complete team and like the team that they have built to win this season's competition. They didn't sign Alves and Higuain for 3 or 4 years' time. They signed them for the here and now. Both those players were very, very impressive. And you look through the Juventus side and their performance, and it's very difficult to pick a hole in them.
Yeah, you thought at the beginning when Neymar, who played a lot of the game on the left flank, directly up against his old mate Dani Alves, he performed one wonderful piece of trickery, put the ball straight through Dani Alves's legs. Dani Alves was evidently a bit frustrated about that. There were one or two tackles going in, and you wonder whether Neymar was going to have the better of that in quite a big way. But Dani Alves fought back tremendously, and in the end, you say he quite clearly had the upper hand.
Well, you'd almost go for him as maybe a man of the match candidate if it wasn't for the goals of Paulo Dybala, who, in fairness to him, Richard, going into this, there was a lot of pressure on him. He was on the front page of Gazzetta dello Sport in Italy, the front page of the Turin-based paper Tutto Sport as well. And my word, he delivered in that first half.
And they were making direct comparisons with Lionel Messi, weren't they? And that's the thing. There are 6 years between them. Dybala is 23, Messi is 29. They're both from Argentina. They both play in that 10 role or can play in that 10 role, play across the forward line. I suppose Dybala actually spent a lot of time in the centre forwards position.
Are you saying
today
he's the new Messi?
But that's what they were saying, wasn't it? I mean, I guess that is a comparison. If you're a player of his ilk, that from that part of the world, you're always going to have to live with. But the fact that he was able to take that on and to deliver 2 goals of that quality and add to it with an excellent performance all round on a stage like tonight, when frankly Messi is right there in front of him in the opposition team, says an awful lot about his mentality. And mentality was a big key word for Juventus today. Were they able to break through against a side of the quality of Barcelona with these kind of names? And Dybala was one of those that showed the way.
He had two chances and he took them both unerringly with that left foot that he has, from very different chances, from very different parts of the penalty area. But, you know, that's almost why they signed Higuain, for that type of master finisher. Well, it was actually Dybala, because Higuain had a couple of chances which he couldn't take. It could have been more. Yeah, Barcelona could have scored, but, you know, Juve, if they'd scored five or six, I don't think Barcelona could have had too many complaints, in all honesty. He was absolutely magnificent. And, you know, great players perform on the biggest stage, and Paulo Dybala absolutely did that at the Juventus Stadium.
Higuain has still only scored twice in the knockout stage of the UEFA Champions League. You know, the fact that he didn't get on target tonight will have been a source of some frustration to him.
And I did see his record against Barcelona from his time at Real Madrid. 3 goals in 18 games against them. So not exactly prolific against them on the biggest stage.
He was still very key to Juventus' performance, though, Higuain. A number of occasions he dropped back into the 10 role. In the first half, when Mathieu was on the pitch, they had a clear tactical plan to attack him, to get the ball out wide to Cuadrado, and it was Higuain who released Cuadrado, who then played the ball into Dybala. You know, we say it's a cliche, it was a team performance, but it really was from Juventus, topped off by two brilliant strikes in Dybala and a wonderful header from Chiellini.
We could debate the Barcelona team selection as well all night, with Mathieu brought in at left back instead of Alba or even Digne. They did go with a back four, but it's Juve who extend their unbeaten home record in UEFA competition to 22 games. Chiellini with his first UEFA Champions League goal since 2009, in a week when he got a business degree as well. Extraordinary for him. But looking ahead to that second leg, here's what Dybala's tweeted tonight, Richard. What a night, but it's not over yet. And I suppose the Paris Saint-Germain tie would allude to that. But this is a different defence, isn't it? This is a completely different beast that Barcelona come up against in the second leg.
Yeah, I mean, they were celebrating the winning of every tackle. They were flying into every block, sometimes in twos and threes. Players like Juan Cuadrado were bustling in to stop Barcelona getting shots away on the edge of the Juventus penalty area. I mean, this has not really got the hallmarks of a team that are liable to fade away in the second leg. And this is with great respect to Paris Saint-Germain. There is a steel about Juventus that Paris wouldn't really claim to have. I mean, you mentioned the 7 clean sheets in 9 games in this competition. It's just 2 goals conceded in 9 matches. Are we really saying that this team is suddenly going to concede 4 or even 5 in the second leg, albeit to Barcelona? I mean, I'd be astonished.
Yeah, I mean, I also want to point to the mental strength of Juventus, the freshness as well. If we look at how Barcelona have played this season, they've barely rotated the front three, barely at all. Whereas Allegri's been in a position, Chris, where he's left Higuain at the start of the season, was playing every week, not because he didn't want him to play. He was keeping him fresh. Dybala, Mandzukic, constant rotation. And the back line of the weekend, they changed almost completely.
I was going to say, what a perfect situation to be able to do that. They are a number of points clear in Serie A. They look good for the Scudetto. And yeah, you know, in key moments, when one tiny moment of fatigue from anybody can be the difference, you know, that can be important. And just tonight, quickly, you look at the two benches, and actually I thought that Juventus had more options to bring on if they needed than Barcelona. And that was a problem Luis Enrique had at halftime. He did change it. He brought on Andre Gomes and it made a difference. But he didn't have anyone that you looked down and you thought he can bring him on.
That's
and he will really cause problems.
Yeah, OK. Let's hear from Miralem Pjanic, one of the star performers for Juventus tonight. But he knows how difficult that second leg is going to be.
Barcelona, they have incredible players. They can score to who they want. So we have to be organized in the second game and try to score. If we score, I think that the game will be more difficult for them. And there we have to play very, very well, because we know that Barcelona can do what they want on this field in Barcelona. They are a big team, and we know it will be difficult. So we have to do another good game to pass this turn.
Juve signed the best player from Napoli last summer. in Higuain and the best player from Roma last summer in Pjanic, who was pivotal tonight. Of course, no Marquisio at the moment for Juve. Can Barcelona come back? I mean, can they do it again? You're not backing them this time, eh? Can you remember whether you backed them against Paris Saint-Germain in fairness?
I didn't, but I thought they had a glimmer of hope. I just can't see Juventus conceding the type of goals that Paris Saint-Germain did. I think 2011 was the last time they lost a match anywhere by three clear goals. Richard alluded to their defensive, wonderful defensive record. And on top of that, can I see Barcelona keeping a clean sheet? No, I can't. If Tuesday's match was anything to go by, if Juventus do go there with the idea of scoring a goal, I think they'll get one, because every time they elected to go forward at the Juventus Stadium, they look like scoring. And of course, if they score, Barca have to get five. I can't see that happening. I'm not going to write them off because of what happened in the last round, but it would still, if we take away the Paris Saint-Germain comeback, it would still be one of the greatest UEFA Champions League comebacks of all time.
It's about the mindset, isn't it? It's about going there thinking, do you know what? We can win this on the night. You know, we've proved that actually we are at least as good a team as them. We can afford to disregard what they've done in recent history, because look around us, look at our own capabilities, and they shouldn't lose by a scoreline that would take Barcelona through. Of course, you can say the same about Paris. You can play back elements of this conversation prior to the Paris tie, I'm sure, and make us sound silly. But you know, this is a more solid team. I think we've seen enough from Juventus now to realise they're really serious contenders to win it.
3-0 winners against Barcelona tonight. Great victory for Juve. Richard, get thinking about your man of the match. I suspect I know who you might be going for anyway. But coming up, we're going to look ahead to Wednesday's quarterfinal ties. Bayern host Real Madrid. Atletico take on Leicester.
Dizemos não ao racismo.
Nein zum Rassismus.
Nein til Rassismus.
Non au racisme.
Nein til Rassismus.
Nein racismo.
Cristiano Ronaldo, Manuel Neuer, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Vincent Kompany, Caroline Sagar and Lionel Messi are just a few of the European football stars saying no to racism. European football united against racism. Respect.
You're listening to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.
You're listening to Match Day Live with Chris Parrott and me, Rob Daly. We have two more fantastic fixtures on Wednesday night in the UEFA Champions League quarterfinals, starting with Bayern against the holders Real Madrid. We have full commentary of the match right here on Match Day Live from 19:30 Central European Time. Bayern head coach Carlo Ancelotti goes head to head against a familiar face and reflects on his time working with Zinedine Zidane.
When you have an assistant as Zidane that has had a fantastic quality as a player, he can help us with his charisma, with his personality, talking with the player, and that's what he did in my period at Real Madrid. He was really, really good assistant also because he had a fantastic relationship with the players. And it's true that when I met Zidane as a player, I changed my idea, a little bit my idea of football. The player more important than the system.
Quite a compliment there from Carlo Ancelotti to Zinedine Zidane. They go head-to-head on Wednesday night. And Adam Summerton is going to be our commentator for the match in Munich. Adam, thank you very much for joining us on the show this evening. Let's look at Bayern first. I mean, they come into this with the Bundesliga close to wrapped up after an excellent win against Dortmund on Saturday.
They were excellent, weren't they? Yeah, 4-1 winners over Dortmund. Ribery got one. Lewandowski, who's just been in devastating form, got a couple. Robin got another, and they really looked at a real gulf, didn't they, between Bayern and Dortmund. And it means now that in terms of the Bundesliga, they're 10 points clear of Leipzig, 17 clear of Hoffenheim and 18 clear of Dortmund. And to be the gap to be that big between themselves and Dortmund, I think says a lot about Bayern.
Adam, two real notable absentees for both sides, really. Bayern without Mats Hummels and Real Madrid without Pepe. How do both teams react? And given all the attackers on show, maybe do they both think about scoring goals?
Yeah, I think it's particularly concerning for Real Madrid as well, because not just Pepe, but Varane as well, out with a hamstring injury, we believe. So that does leave them a little short, doesn't it, in the centre. I think Nacho will play there. It won't be clearly their first choice, back four. They're missing a lot of quality there, and Hummels, as you're quite right to point out, possibly Müller as well at the other end of the pitch for Bayern. But I'm just so intrigued to see how this will go. It just looks so evenly matched, doesn't it? I mean, in terms of the history between, it's the most played fixture in the competition. I think it's the 23rd match between the two sides, and overall it's pretty even in terms of the split. What obviously Bayern will look to avoid is a similar sort of outcome to what we saw when Madrid won there so emphatically 5-0 in the 2013-14 semi-finals. But I think Bayern are in a really good place right now.
And what shape are Real Madrid in, do you think, Adam? Because they probably could have won against Atletico. They had great chances to beat them in the Madrid derby of the weekend, but that finished 1-1.
Well, they're unbeaten in this season's competition. I think we should stress that. And clearly, they're looking to defend the UEFA Champions League as well, which has still never been done, amazingly. 9 games unbeaten. They've won the last 7 of them in all competitions. So they're clearly in good form. That's what makes this such a... when you two sides of the clubs of this calibre come up against each other, it's always going to be interesting and intriguing. But when they're both in as good a form as they are, then when you've got the master against the apprentice as well, Zidane against Ancelotti, clearly Ancelotti's connections as well with Madrid, there's so many ingredients that make this a fantastic tie for us.
He's the master at this stage of the season, isn't he, Carlo Ancelotti, about getting his teams to peak at the right time. Is there a favourite? I know that's a word that is so often bandied around before this type of game, but given the two clubs, can you see one side being the favourite?
Very difficult to call. I think if you're looking at the experience of the two coaches, and I know that Zinedine Zidane is a UEFA Champions League winner now already, but Carlo Ancelotti, for me, is just one of the best coaches, most experienced coaches in world football right now. Whether that proves to be the difference maker over the course of the two legs, we shall see, but it's very tough to call.
So it looks like Manuel Neuer is fit for the game, having missed the Clásico at the weekend. Interesting quote from Zidane in his press conference ahead of this one, not just about how Frank Ribery used to wind him up with the French national team, but that he believes that Real Madrid are better than they were in 2014 under Ancelotti. What do you think to that?
I was interested by that, I have to say. I thought it was quite a bold thing for him to come out with too. Particularly ahead of a game like this. I wondered whether there was maybe a bit of mind games going on there, perhaps trying to play on a bit of the psychology, whether it's true. I mean, who am I to disagree with Zinedine Zidane? But I was more interested in the fact that he decided to come out with that normally ahead of these games, particularly when two real juggernauts come up against each other. They can be very measured and very careful in what they say, the head coaches. So for him to come out and say that, I thought was very interesting.
A little bit of fighting talk. I like it. Adam, thank you very much. Look forward to your company tomorrow. Adam Summerton will be our commentator for Bayern against Real Madrid, the most played fixture in UEFA club competition history. The two sides meet for the 23rd time and for the 11th time in the European Cup, the UEFA Champions League, this competition as we know it. Also on Wednesday, it's the first leg of last season's finalist Atletico's test against Leicester. Leicester's head coach Craig Shakespeare says his side know exactly what to expect from their upcoming opponents.
Well, I think obviously we'll have to show them the respect they deserve. Atletico's style is well documented. I think, in terms of a team, they press high. But again, I think for us, it's about what we do tomorrow night. We're aware of Atletico's strengths, but we're also aware of our own strengths.
As Sevilla found out also from Spain in the last round as they were knocked out by Leicester. Midfielder Danny Drinkwater says his side won't simply sit back and defend against Atletico.
We're looking to get through this round, definitely. You know, we're not looking to draw the game or lose the game and then, you know, hopefully nick something the second leg. We're going over to Madrid to get what we need out of the game. And again, you know, hopefully we can push a place for that semi-final.
Danny Drinkwater there. Dan Roebuck will be our commentator for the game and he joins us on the line now. Dan, I suspect that the tactic of sitting back against Atletico, a team that like to do that themselves, won't really work for Leicester City anyway.
It's not going to, is it? And it's intriguing because they both like to do very similar things. One team, you suspect, is probably better at doing it than the other, and that's Atletico. Yes, we've got to give Leicester an awful lot of credit because last season they won the Premier League. They were sensational in England. They overcame all the odds, and they had that togetherness, They had that cohesion. They had the fight and the spirit. And it's interesting because Diego Godin has come out over the course of the last few days, and he was asked to sum up what playing for Atleti means. And he says it's wanting to win through work and sacrifice. And you think that's exactly what Leicester did last campaign. So tactically, somebody has got to do something different. You suspect it has to be Atleti. They are at home, and they will play with more ambition and more on the front foot. But it's going to be an intriguing tactical battle between the two and which side will adapt and do something a little bit different. But as I say, I think Atleti has to do that. They're the home side, they're the favourite, and Leicester are going to have to play very, very well. They're going to have to defend very, very well if they are to have a chance in the return leg. And like they did against Sevilla in the previous round, you feel it's crucial for them to score an away goal.
I guess we saw Atletico Leverkusen score 4 away from home. Given that, and given that maybe we'll see a more attacking Atleti, how big a blow is it for Leicester not to have their captain, Wes Morgan, who's out injured?
Well, it's a huge blow, isn't it? There is no doubt about that. He is the talisman for Leicester last campaign, and he's going to be severely missed. And you wonder who's going to come in. Now, the player that's come in most recently is Benaluan, who wasn't given much of a start, of course, under Claudio Ranieri. I believe that the two fell out. He was cited as being a very aggressive defender when he was signed from Atalanta. He only played 4 times as a substitute in the Premier League winning side for Leicester last campaign. He's come back this season. He played in the EFL Trophy. Now, for listeners in the wider continent and wider world, that's really a competition for third and fourth tier teams in England. This year, it also included academy sides from the first and second tier in England. And that's what he was playing earlier this campaign. He's been thrust into the action because of the injury to Wes Morgan, who's going to miss this game. He's played the last, 4 fixtures. And by all accounts, he's played well. Craig Shakespeare has praised him, but his European experience is limited. He played in the UEFA Cup before it morphed into the Europa League for Saint-Étienne nearly a decade ago. It's a big, big ask, you feel, for him alongside Robert Huth and Morgan, as you mentioned. He's a massive.
Yeah, I would be inclined to agree with you there, Dan. Diego Simeone said ahead of this game, by the way, that he doesn't imagine it will be settled on Wednesday night. It will actually be settled back in Leicester. He's predicting a tight game, but Atletico haven't conceded in 8 home European knockout fixtures. No Kevin Gamero. I mean, that'll be one thing that Leicester don't have to worry about, because the partnership of Gamero and Griezmann is so key for Atletico.
Yes, exactly. Look, Gamero had a bit of a sticky start to his campaign. Came good. He's got that terrific hat-trick in 4 minutes or whatever it was in La Liga. I think that Atleti have got the firepower with Griezmann, of course, who scored that late equaliser against Real at the weekend. I think they've got enough. They're overwhelming favourites, and I expect them to win the first leg relatively comfortably.
OK, Dan, thank you very much. Looking forward to having you on the show tomorrow. Dan Roebuck will be our commentator. Make sure you tune in on Match Day Live for 19:30 CET. On Wednesday night, we're going to have all the build-up action and reaction to both of those quarter-final first legs, including Atletico against Leicester. Chris Parrott and Richard Conley are still alongside me. Time for your Man of the Matches from Turin.
It would be churlish to say anybody else, really. Let's go with Paulo Dybala.
Miralem Pjanic.
Why?
He was outstanding in midfield. He was composed. He held it together. And he also delivered a couple of magnificent set pieces, which led to goals.
OK, gents, thank you very much indeed. That's all we have time for on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live on a night when Juventus took control of their tie with a 3-goal advantage ahead of the second leg. It was the young Argentina striker Paulo Dybala who was the difference on the night with a brace of goals for the Italian champions. But can Barcelona repeat what they did against Paris Saint-Germain in the round of 16 and perform another miracle at the Camp Nou next week? Join us again on Wednesday from 19:30 Central European Time. We have full live commentary of Bayern versus Real Madrid. What a game we have at Story Munich. And then we'll bring you extended updates as last season's finalists Atletico take on Leicester City. Is the fairy tale set to continue for the champions of England? Until then, from Chris Parrott, Richard Connolly, and myself, Rob Daly, it's goodbye.
Quick feet from Cuadrado. Dybala inside the box and scores! They didn't get close enough to Paulo Dybala.
and he's curled it in with that wonderful left foot, and Juve lead inside 7 minutes. Here is Mandzukic over on the far side, the left-hand side for Juve. Higuain coming near post. Here's Dybala with a strike! And it's 2-0 to Juventus! That left foot again of Dybala! In comes the corner, deep to the back post, headed in! Juventus have a third goal! And it's Giorgio Chiellini! A three-goal lead now for Juventus. 3-0, they lead Barcelona.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.